This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have four wonderful pieces to share together. Let's get cracking. The pasuk says, the first pasuk, "Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav el Esav achiv." Yaakov sends a message to his brother Esav. What is the message? "Vayitzav Esav leimor." This is the message you need to give Esav. "Koyseimru la adoni le Esav." I've been living with Lavan till now. We know the famous Rashi. Rashi says, Lavan garti is garti is begematria taryag. Kaloima im Lavan harosha garti. The taryag means the shamarti, velo matatim maisim haroim. Famous Rashi, that I've been with Lavan all these years, and I haven't learned from his evil ways, and I've kept Torah, and I've kept all taryag mitzvahs. That is the message that it's going to send to Esau. The question, of course, is, why on earth should Esav care that Yaakov has kept Torah mitzvahs? This was not a value for Esav. So why was it so pressing that Yaakov had to get this message over to Esav that I've been with Lavan all these years, we haven't seen each other for a long time, I've kept Torah and mitzvahs. Did Esav really care that Yaakov kept Torah and mitzvahs? So I've seen three answers to this question. Rav Zvi Hashfaber, he was from here, from London, he was the Rav in the East End, I think in the early part of the 1900s. And then the answer of Moshe Feinstein, Lav Mechaim Lechaim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. So let's just briefly look at each answer. Zvi Hashfaber gives the following answer. Kiven she'oma Yitzchak le'esof. When, in Parshas Tolbos, when Yitzchak was giving the brachas and Yaakov got in and got the brachas, later after Yaakov went, Esof came in and Yitzchak said to him, it's too late. So he begged his father for a bracha. And this is what he said to him. You'll live by the sword, but you'll have to be subservient to your brother Yaakov. However, when Yaakov Avinu doesn't live up to his responsibilities, then you have the green light to attack him. Yaakov Yavala Torah says this in Sri Hashverba, if Yaakov violates the Torah, then he's got a green light to attack Yaakov. So Esau would think to himself, you know, when Yaakov was spending so much time in the house of Lavan, lo shama mitzvah Hashem, maybe he didn't keep mitzvahs, maybe he dropped his standards. But after Yochel Abido, now I have the green light to attack him. Lochein Omar lo Yaakov im Lavan harosha garti v'tag mitzvah shamarti v'leim lamadzi v'maisim haroim. So therefore, Esau received the message from Yaakov that no. Yaakov said, I've kept Torah mitzvahs. You have no green light, no rishus whatsoever to attack me. That's the answer of Zvi Hashfaber. Rav Moshe gives a different answer. These answers are quoted in the Sefer Shulchan Mishulchan Gevoya. And again, if you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. Rav Moshe says this, Kiven she'bikesh Yaakov la'aseh shalom im Esav. Since Yaakov wanted to make peace with Esav, hikdim lo'hodia t'nai kodim l'maaseh. He wanted to set out, as it were, a condition before the actual incident, before the contract. And he said to Esav, I am a Torah Jew. I keep Torah mitzvahs. If you want to make peace with me based on this premise that I have certain values, I keep Torah mitzvahs, then fine. But if according to your view, peace means that I have to lower my standards and integrate with you in your way of life, there's nothing to discuss. In other words, Ramesha explains that Yaakov Avinu was giving a message to Esav that now we've come after all these years and I want to make peace with you. But you have to know that it has to be on correct terms, that it cannot be that I have to drop my standards. I'm a frum Torah Jew. I keep Torah mitzvahs. And it's on that premise and only on that premise that I can make any peace and treaties with you. The third answer that Chaim Kanievsky says, a very interesting answer. This is quoted in Derech Sicha on page Kuf Samach Gimel. Esau Emes Yoda. Did Esau really care? The answer is yes, because deep down he knew the truth. That the Torah is true and is the greatest protection for a person. Now, which Esau divested himself of his heritage and denied the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's just their regular Yetzahara. The editor quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Aleph from the base that Yoidim Rishoyim Shedar Kun Lemisa El Shechelev Al Kasolim. The Gemara says in Shabbos that Rishoyim know that they're doing wrong. is that the Yetzer Hara just enticed them to do it. So therefore, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, it was important for Yaakov to send that message to Esav, because Esav did care. He did know that deep down this is the correct way, and that was the message he wanted to send him. So there we have three answers to that question. Now, let's press on, because there's a famous Beis Halevi, which I think ties into the answer of Moshe Feinstein. Let's take a look. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov was about to meet Esav, he offers a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was his prayer? Hatzileini no miyad ochi miyad Esav. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me from my brother, the hands of my brother, and the hands of Esav. Ki yore anoichi pen yove v'ikani eim avonim, because I'm worried he's going to come and attack and destroy me and my wife and the children. The Beis Halevi is, of course, troubled by the repetition in the Pasuk, miyad ochi miyad Esav, says the Beis Halevi. It's the bottom box on page one. Since Yaakov Avinu only had one brother, why does he have to add that? We know that. Miyad Esav, miyad Ochi, we know that. So listen to this explanation. Yesh lefarish hakavona. The Yaakov b'hoidoi, the Esav boli krosoi. There's only two ways to end this sort of interaction. Either Esav is going to want to harm Yaakov and he's going to try and kill him. Or maybe Esav will be happy to make peace and they'll be on friendly terms like two brothers. And Yaakov was worried on both accounts, whether Esav came along to make peace or to make war. Because even if he wanted to make peace, that comes with danger, as he's going to explain. That's why you have the double repetition, the double expression. Vayira is al sofek shema yahargenu. Maybe he'll attack him physically. Vayetzelo, and he was distressed, al sofek shema yiskarevlo. Maybe he'll embrace him. The neshikas Esav, the kiss of Esav, the embrace. Vezeo shebikesh al shnei hofanim hatzileini no miyad ochi, miyad Esav. She'eneni wrote to boi la'ach, v'lo la'esav. I don't want either the ach or the Esav. Pathways are dangerous. Turning over the page. We know the concept of Maisa Ovas Simen Abonim, that what happens to the Ovas is some form of pre-enactment of what will happen later on to Klal Yisrael. The Gamba Galusa Shel Esav Yisnai Kein Yisrael. These two approaches are used by Esav and Edom today, B'Shnei Hoifanim, Kasher Rotz Lasev Sim Yaakov. The Bahascholas HaGolus, often at the beginning of an exile, there's a pattern. That sometimes they come and they try and attack and destroy. Doesn't forsake us. And then sometimes they say, no, you know, we can dwell together in peace and harmony. But that can also come with a spiritual danger. Interestingly, and I've got to be careful how I use this analogy, but it's just a loose analogy, but I think it's an important point. The 20th century is a very good example of this. We know that Rahman Islam, during the Second World War, we lost a third of our nation. And that was an example of the physical attack of the nations against Klal Yisrael, where we lost one in three. We lost 6 million Yidden. We were 18 million, we were reduced to 12 million. That was an example of the physical attack of Esav. But since then, the spiritual Holocaust, the spiritual annihilation of Klal Yisrael, has also been very real. I saw once a statistic that there are, let's say, approximately 5 million Jews in America. And the statistics predict that by the year 2050, I think, around then, there will only be 1 million Jews in America, maybe 2070, I forget, not long in the grand scheme of things. Down to 1 million, well, where did 4 million Jews go to? Of course, some make Aliyah, some go to the Eretz Yisrael, but the vast majority have just gone because they've assimilated. If a man marries a non-Jewish woman, that's it. His children are not Jewish. So the numbers go down very, very quickly. So there is also a big danger of spiritual assimilation. And therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, the last paragraph, and indeed, the spiritual dangers were more of a concern to Yaakov Avinu than the physical dangers. Because sometimes it's easier for a person to slip in the spiritual danger than the physical one. Because one is only a physical danger. It's spiritual, which also dictates the physical danger, etc. So therefore, and this carries on, Abias Moshiach, says the Beis HaLevi. So there are two dangers there, and that is what Yaakovin was referring to. Hatzileni no miyad ochi, but he might come along with an embrace, with an ashikas Esav, or miyad Esav, he might come to physically harm me, and I'm worried about both of those, but primarily I'm worried about miyad ochi, the spiritual concerns of getting together, of what he might do with me. Okay, let's move on. The next idea is something quite astonishing that Rabbi Hartman shared with us earlier in the week. His children told him this fabulous idea from the Megale Amukos. Now, the Megale Amukos, I don't think I've quoted before, but for those who have been to Poland and have been to Krakow, imagine you're standing in the main square, not far from the other end of the square to the Ramoz Shul, and you're standing there with a big shul behind you. You can, some good tour guides will point out a little window at the top of a building, and they'll tell you that's where the Megale Amukos lived. And the Megale Amukos was a tremendous Mekubal, a holy, holy Jew. And some of his Torah is very hard to access. It's Kabbalah, it's very deep and esoteric material. But there's one piece that Rabbi Hartman shared with us that people told him about, which I thought was just very, very interesting, which the little that I could understand, I'll share with you. But let's go through it together. It's the Megale Amukos in Parshas Vayeschanan Oifen Kuf Ayin, paragraph 3. We know that the full body of a human being is 248 limbs. He's made up of 248 limbs. There are 248 mitzvahs asay. Each one is meant to sustain a certain limb and give person a certain degree of shleimus. Now, when Avram, in his early years, he didn't have that shleimus. He didn't have the resh mem ches. Ad she nikra Avraham. Only when he was called Avraham, shehu begmatra resh mem ches, like Rashi in the Pasuk tells us, I think from the Gemara Nedarim, that Rashi says from the Gemara Nedarim that Avraham was originally known as Avram, but when you add the hey, he became Avraham, and Avraham is gematria 248. Fine. The Yitzchok lo tikin hashir koma ad she nosa es rifka. When did Yitzchok achieve that shleimus of 248, which is the full stature of a human being, only when he married Rivka? He also had ben memshon of a kachdes Rivka. Now, what is the gematria of Yitzchok? The gematria of Yitzchok is 208. Yud and Sadi is 90 and 10 is 100. Ches and Kuf is 108. That's 208. How old was Yitzchok when he married Rivka? He was 40. So through marriage, you add the 40 to the gematria of Yitzchak, and that gives you 248. So it was through marriage he achieved the shleimus of 248, the shleimus ha'odam. Now, what about Yaakov? The Yaakov lo tikkun hashir koimah sheyerid leMitzrayim. When did Yaakov achieve that shleimus? When he went down to Mitzrayim, kol nefesh habol lebeis Yaakov shishim v'sheish. Pasuk says in Bereishis Mevov Chavov that there were 66 people that went down with Yaakov Avinu. Now, the gematria of Yaakov Avinu, let's work it out. Yud is 10, Ayin is 70, that's 80. Kuf is 100, that's 180, and Beis is 2, 182. That is 66 short of 248. So if you add the 66 neshamas that came with him to the name, to the gematria of Yaakov, that gives you 248. In other words, the Yaakov Avinu was able to achieve his shleimus through his children and his family. So you see, interestingly, each of the Avos achieved the Shleimus Ha'odom, which was represented by the number 248, Avraham through himself, Yitzchok through marriage, and Yaakov through his children. Now, to add some icing to the cake. The Torah is given in the merit of the Ovis, and the light of Torah shines through Moshe Rabbeinu, who received it on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That light of Torah was huge, and therefore the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu had to wear a mask. The word for a mask, a masfer, mem samach vav hei, contains this light of Torah, which was given on the, in the Zuchus of the Ovis. Now, it says of Shimshon Astropoli, which is again another great makubal of going back a couple of centuries, the masver, the mask, the Moshe Rabbeinu wore to contain this light, represents these additions. How so? Well, masver, mem, is 40. That was the 40 added to Yitzchok. Samach Vav is 66, which was added to Yaakov. And Hey is 5, the number which was added to Avraham. So the Masver represents these additions, how each of the others achieved that Shlemus, and it's therefore the Masver was needed to contain this light. So a very, very interesting idea. I had a quick look at the Megala Amukos. There's a lot more there, which I must be honest with you, is totally beyond me. But this is the little that I know and I can share with you. But just something quite amazing. Let's finish off with one final piece. There is, the Pasuk says later in the parasha, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yudches, Vayova Yaakov Sholem, Ir Shechem Eretz Beretz Knaan, Bevoim Padan Aram, Vayichan Im Es Pnei Ho'eh. Now, the Meshech Chochma says, quotes Chazal, Vayichan Es Pnei Ho'eh, Nichnas Im Dumei Chamo, he came in towards the end of the day, the Kovat Tuchumim, and he made Erev Tuchumim. Interestingly, we know that Avraham Avinu is associated with Erev Tavshinin, and Yaakov Avinu is associated with Erev Tuchumim. Says the Meshech Chochma, there's a lot more going on over here. What is the connection between Erev Tavshinin and Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu and Erev Tuchumim? Says the Meshech Chochma, let's do it inside, it's very beautiful. B'nei Necher, it's the bottom box, second, it's the last box on the page. B'nei Necher, Dailoi B'Sheva Mitzvahs. Non-Jewish people, it suffices that they keep the seven mitzvahs. Ulam, Nefesh HaYisraeli, the Jewish neshama, our neshamas come from a very high place, a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im ein lo kol ha-Torah b'chlol v'prato, if a person is lacking in Torah, ozai ein lo b'chiyusoi, there's something missing, there's some vitality missing in his life. Ki im Yisrael heima ma'oinu mochan elu kus ba'olam ha-shofel. Because really, Klal Yisrael are the sort of the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. V'lochein, Avraham chipes lehofitz shitosoi, What was Avraham Avinu's life mission? To spread monotheism in the world, to spread awareness of the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ba'asher chishev ki yechidi, that he was his only and only entity, monotheism. But Avraham Avinu saw that he hadn't achieved this perfection, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could attach himself to Avraham, because Yishmael came from him. And therefore he established the Eshel, this tree, which we know stands for Achid, Ashtia, and Nevaya, this enterprise where he was going to spread the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the masses. For Omer Beresh Avodah Zorah, it says in Avodah Zorah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Shnei Alofim Torah. The first 2,000 years of the world is Tohu Vavohu. The next 2,000 years is the epoch of Torah. And the final 2,000 years is that which we now is the epoch of approaching Moshiach. Now, when did the 2,000 years of Torah begin? From the moment, HaNefesh Asher Osu B'chora. What does that mean? The Shabbat Nereisa, that he introduced them to Torah. The Gam Hoyozeh B'Kavona Shehalach Mitzrayim. Amazing. That's why Avraham Avinu went to Mitzrayim. It wasn't for business reasons, but he went, Mokam HaChochma V'HaChartum, and that was the sort of the center of the intelligence of the world, the superpower of the day, L'Falpel U'L'Karvom L'Shitosim B'Achdus B'Torah. To engage in theological debate, to teach them the Chochma of Torah, and to spread monotheism even in Egypt. Next paragraph. Lo kein Yaakov. That wasn't the mission of Yaakov Avinu. Ra'osh emitos eshlema. Yaakov Avinu saw that his progeny, his bed was complete. That therefore, his descendants could provide a footstool for the Shechina. For Kamoshev Tichu Virosh Hashem Nitzavolov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that he would be standing over him, i.e., literally Yaakov Avinu and his children could be a footstool for the Shechina. Ro Lehepuch, He therefore had the opposite mission to Avraham Avinu. Mubalim betchum. He had to sort of put borders up and keep his perfect children sort of separate and untainted from outside influences. So he was no longer going to, he's not going to sort of missionarize and preach to others, and he would leave his father-in-law Lavan to, with his mistaken ways. The kas al Rachel shenignava trofim la'avdim avodazara. And he got angry with his wife Rachel in this week's parasha from trying to prevent his father, her father, from worshipping Avodah Zarah. Yaakov was saying to Rachel, that's not the mission. That was Avraham's mission. Our job now is to focus on ourselves, to build the family, and not to worry about others. If Lavan has chosen this path, that's his problem. Cain ben Mitzrayim, or Yoish from Eretz Goshen, when Yaakov went to Mitzrayim later, he lived in Goshen, Nifrodim Ehamim, separate. Again, the focus there was insulating and not worrying about engaging in debate with the Chachmei Mitzrayim. The Chayin Adaris Bulma, Ein Mekablim Gerim Medovich, Shezek Kehechach, because in the times of David and Shlomo, it will be obvious that anyone would join Klal Yisrael who wouldn't want to join Klal Yisrael, and therefore there's no purpose in that, and therefore we're not Mekabel Gerim then. The Zem Nitzosim Shavram Kiyem Erev Tavshilin. That's the explanation, that Avraham was Mekayim Erev Tavshilin. What's Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin is Lahachnis Archim or Kabel Gerim Tachas Kamfi Ashkina. Erev Tavshilin is your cooking. Hoyel Veikli Archim. You're having guests coming along. This is the Eishel of Avraham. It's outward looking. He didn't have any boundaries. There were no borders. Tchumim was not appropriate for Avraham Avinu because he didn't want to limit people coming because he wanted to sort of spread his the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu far and wide. Lochein Yaakov. That wasn't the mission of Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu's mission was to insulate Klal Yisrael and to protect them from all the nations. And therefore, final paragraph. When it came to Mora, after they came out of Mitzrayim, they weren't yet makbid on Tchumim. Why? Chazal tell us there was machlekas until that point. And therefore, Klal Yisrael were not worthy at that stage of being a footstool for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, they were not yet given the mitzvah of Tuchumim. But then the Har Sinai they were. Because it says, and therefore, that's when they were given the Tuchumim. And therefore, he merited that gift without any limitation. In last week's parasha, the Yaakov Avinu is told that you're going to burst forth in all directions. That was the schar for insulating and for keeping tchumim and borders and boundaries. Amazing. The and you'll see this an amazing idea. So, a really very, very interesting idea. That Avraham Avinu is associated with the mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin, which is outward focused because that was his mission in life. Mashenkin Yaakov Avinu was focused on Erev Tuchumin, which sets borders and boundaries, that he wasn't going to pursue the same course as Avraham, but now that he had achieved the perfect progeny, the mitzvah Shlema, that he could then, which was worthy of being a footstool for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his job was to insulate his children and his family, and therefore Tuchumin more appropriate, and therefore his life's goal of keeping separate in Mitzrayim, as opposed to Avraham, who was very much engaged with Mitzrayim, and then getting angry with Rachel for trying to interfere with the father's ways, because that wasn't appropriate for the Mahalach of Yaakov Avinu. So there we have four very interesting ideas. I hope the first idea, Im Lavan Garti, Rashi says, V'tayag mitzvah shamarti v'lo lamadti v'mais maroim. But the question is, why did Yaakov have to send this message to Esav? Did Esav really care that Yaakov kept Torah and mitzvahs? We saw the answers in the Sri Hashvaba, that the message was that Yitzchak gave the brachas to Esav and to Yaakov, and the bracha to Yaakov was the bountiful bracha, but the bracha to Esav was kasher Torah the farak de'ulei mi'atzav arecha, that when Yaakov doesn't keep his part of the deal, he doesn't keep Torah, then you've got a green light. Says Yaakov, no, I kept Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore you have no rishus to touch. Then we had the answer from Moshe Feinstein. He was just saying at Tznai Kodim the Maisa, that I'm happy to make peace with you, but it has to be on terms that I'm a Shomer Torah and mitzvahs, and no other terms. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that Be'emet he did care, because Aesop and Rishayim generally they understand that Torah is correct, and it's the Yetzer Hara who sort of misguides them. Then we had the Beis HaLevi, famous Beis HaLevi, that Yaakov Avinu was worried on both counts, the physical dangers, the spiritual dangers, and he was actually more concerned about the spiritual dangers. That's why he says Miyad Ochi first, and then Miyad Esav, and that explains the double Loshna by Yira Yaakov Moed, by Yetzel, and this is really a simon for Golus, as these two dangers are very much real, unfortunately, we've seen throughout Jewish history. Then we discussed this amazing Megale Amukus, how 248 is the shlemus of a person, and the Ovis in their own way achieve that shlemus of Avraham with 5 through himself, Yitzhak through marriage with the addition of 40, and Yaakov through his children, this extra 66. And that is represented by the Masveh, the Moshe Rabbeinu war, which is an allusion to these additions. And lastly, the Avraham association with Erev Tavshilin, which is the outward looking, and Yaakov, which is associated with Erev Tuchumin, which sets sort of inward-looking, insulating, establishing very firm boundaries.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.